our God. We thank you so much for who you are in our lives today. We thank you for the reminder that you are our Ebenezer. You are our faithful Father. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are always there when we need you. Thank you, Father, for all the things you do for us. We thank you this morning for the strength and the life you have given to us this morning. Thank you that you can speak to us. And you can always say to us, be still and know that I am God. You are Father. Thank you for that. And now as we share your word together, I pray, Father, that you'd be with us and continue to be with us. That we hear from you. And use me, Father, in the way that brings glory to your name. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a wonderful privilege for me to be here again. I guess this is my third time now. And I don't know whether it is with this church, or is it with Pastor Tim, or is it my problem? Because each time I come here, I've got to work. The first time I came here, I had to be a butler when Pastor Tim and Sid had broken bones. And yesterday, I had to spend the morning helping carry some bags for those families that were shopping. It was a wonderful day for me to be part and parcel of that. And I'm so thankful that I've been given an opportunity to share with you God's word this morning. Allow me and everyone with me to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And I would like to begin reading in verse 4. And it says in verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This morning, I want to share with us, looking at this passage, as believers in a Christian race. We want to think about the fight we go through as we encounter different obstacles in the Christian race. I think of the Olympics that took place in 1992. And I don't know if you remember a young man then by the name Derek Redmond. He had several gold and silver under his belt. And he was destined, or many people thought he was going to win gold that year. But as they are running in this 200 race, meter race, he fell. He pulled his hamstring and he fell to the ground. And he was lying there in agony, in pain. And everybody ran past him. But after some moments, he stood up. And he started limping towards the finish line. And as that was happening, a big man came from the audience. And he ran and he wrapped his arms around this young man. At that moment, nobody knew who this man was. But this man was in a conversation with this young man. And later on, they started running together whilst he was wrapping his arms around him. Later on, people discovered that this man was actually his father, who came to talk to him. And the father, at that moment, he said to him, "Son, you don't need to do this." But the son said, "Well, I've got to do it. I've got to finish the race." And the father said, "If you are going to do it, you are not going to do it alone. I'll be there with you." What I want us to understand this morning is when we encounter difficulties, we need to persevere. We need to hold out to the end. We do not need to give up. Do not be disheartened. Never look back. But press towards the back with the same freshness as you began at the starting point. Remain steadfast until the goal. In this Christian race, we need to understand that God is our heavenly umpire. In His infinite wisdom, He has placed obstacles in our way, not indeed to hinder our course, but to test our devotion and to keep us earnest, watchful, and persevering, to strengthen our spiritual energy. There are hindrances, suffering, and difficulties. All are part of this Christian race. But everything is overruled by the perfect love and wisdom of the divine umpire. In this obstacle race of faith, a true believer observes seven things. I'm going to share with us seven things that a true believer observes in this Christian life. Now, 7 points does not mean I'm going to speak for 7 hours. Neither does it mean I'm going to speak for 7 minutes. But I'm going to speak anywhere between 7 minutes and 7 hours. But A true believer observes seven things. Here is the first thing. True faith sees difficulties as proofs of God, of the fatherhood of God. In this obstacle course, we need to understand that God is a loving father who chastises his son. See, we face difficulties, we face obstacles for a reason. God wants us to remember that he is our loving father. There is no child who can grow up without being disciplined by his father. And of course, as we read that, you know, our earthly fathers discipline us for a reason. Now, I grew up in a culture where discipline was a big thing. In fact, I'm sure you know, and most of you have heard the song by the African Children's Choir. It takes the whole village to take care of a child. The whole village, everybody. In fact, when I was growing up, I can tell you stories whereby when I would be disciplined by somebody, you know, somewhere, they would come home and tell my father, and they would discipline me for the second time. You know, they would not yell to that person or to that elder. In fact, in my culture, anyone who is older than me becomes my father. It takes the whole village. However, the Bible tells us our earthly fathers discipline us for their own benefit, for their own good. But God disciplines us for something that is best to him. A loving father chastises or chastens his child. Number two, true faith regards the distress and suffering as ways of the love of God. A true believer will not be discouraged by obstacles. Therefore, we should not worry. Worries are not good for us. They are useless, injurious, and unnecessary, unworthy. And worries are inferior. In fact, when we worry, sometimes we are saying God is not able to look after us. We are belittling God. We are making God or putting God in a box. It's not right for us. Worry is earthly. The Bible tells us worry is idolatrous and heathenish. If we read God's word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, cast all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Number three, true faith trusts in the midst of all suffering in the infallibility and fruitfulness of all the decisions of the wisdom of God. God does not make a mistake. God never makes mistakes. In fact, he says, be still, like we sang this morning. Be still and know that I'm God. I have something that I found as I was preparing for this message. And I want to read it to you. And it says here, be still, my soul, for the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and the winds will know. His voice who ruled them while they dwelt below. Be still. God wants us to understand that He doesn't make mistakes. He is faithful and He will remain faithful forever. Number four, true faith reckons in all the events, whether they are good or bad. It reckons with the ordering hand of God and all the overruling government of God. In other words, we understand that whatever happens in our lives, God overrules even the actions of our enemies. Sometimes the evil that was thought against us, God meant it for good. Remember the story of Joseph? When the brothers sold him, to them they felt, oh, they did it. To Joseph, when he was sold, he looked at his brothers and felt, oh, these people are so evil. But God said, this is good. You know, they have different perspectives. The brothers thought it's done. He thought, oh, they are evil. But God meant it for good. Sometimes a curse is turned into blessing. If you go back to the word of God, you discover that Balaam was hired by the Ammonites to curse the children of Israel. But in the process of wanting to curse them, his curse was turned into blessing. Faith, in the last analysis, accepts nothing from the hands of men. Faith accepts all things and all things from the hands of God, including all the difficulties and all the losses, all the injustices we have to suffer. Everything which reaches us in life must have passed before God. I'm reminded of the story of Job. See, when he was tried, God had to give permission for him to go through that. And I don't know, even as we sit here this morning, how many of us can respond after facing all kinds of difficulties, and at the end of it we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, how many of us would lose our children? How many of us would lose everything? And then at the end say, God, be blessed. It's so difficult. Even when you speak, when you share with others about these things, it's so difficult. Many things we can't take in our lives. But understand, those things are permitted by God. The Bible tells us there is no temptation that has overcome you. No temptation whatsoever. But God allows temptation for a reason, so that you may grow. Everything that comes to us, comes to us because God permits it. Number five, faith, true faith, even in inexplicable darkness, subjects itself without criticism to the sovereign royal authority of God. True faith, inexplicable darkness, subjects itself without criticism to the sovereign royal authority of God. All you have to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. We should bow without contradiction, without inward rebellion, and with thankful and quiet and happy hearts. God is able to judge the situation better than us. See, I thank God so much because God does not wake up one morning and He is moody. You know, sometimes when we wake up certain mornings, you know, I feel so discouraged. Sometimes I am moody. Sometimes I don't want to talk to anybody. Imagine if God was moody one morning. Imagine if God were to say one morning, I don't want to be, you know, to be looking after these people. God does not change whatsoever. He is always looking after us. So we need to understand that God is always faithful, even in inexplicable darkness. We need to subject ourselves to His authority. God is able to judge situations better. God is not surprised. God does not, you know, say, oh, I didn't know this would happen. You know, He's not shocked. He's not surprised by anything. He knows exactly what happens in our lives, whether it is good, whether it is bad. He knows. He knows exactly. So, when you get out of here, maybe you fall down, you stumble, something happens to you. God does not say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you're going to fall down. He knows exactly whatever will happen to you, even as we sit here this morning. Love your destiny, for it is God's way for your soul. Even a thousand enigmas surround you, even if you can see no way out, everything appears senseless, faith can wait. You know when the children of Israel were led by Moses, you know, through the mountains towards the Red Sea. To the Israelites, they were thinking, you know, what kind of a God would lead us through this situation? Behind us, the Egyptians are pursuing us. You know, in front of us, there is no way to go. There is the Red Sea. Why would God have us go through this? He knew exactly. Because right there at the Red Sea, He wanted them to know, be still and know that I am God. Brothers and sisters, in His presence, we can only recognize and wonder at His majesty. Keep the silence and worship. Number 6, true faith values suffering as a necessity of education so that our lives should be changed into the image and the holiness of God. You know, when I think of this, I look at Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. When I read it, you know, I said, you know, why would God put a passage like this in the Bible? But listen, it says in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, behold, it was for my peace that I had great bitterness. You know, it's very difficult to take when you read this passage, you know, like this. Behold, it was for my peace, it was for my good that I had all kinds of bitterness. I had to go through all kinds of difficulties. True faith values suffering as a necessity of education so that our lives should be changed into the image and the holiness of God. Every day, God is working in our lives so that we become His own image. And number 7, true faith estimates the darkness of this life as God's means of reaching the bright eternal goal of God. You know, it is, you know, the means of God of reaching the bright goal, eternal goal of God. At the end of the race, when the battle is won, we shall enjoy the fruit of righteousness in peace. At the end, when we are going to look back and say, God is good. Listen, when all is said and done, we will say, right at the end, when all is done, light after darkness. When all is done, or said and done, right at the end, we are going to say, gain after loss. Here is something we will say, strength after weakness, or crown after cross. Sweet after bitter, hope after fear, home after wandering, or praise after tears. We can say sheaves after sowing, sun after rain. At the end of it, we might say sight after mystery, or joy after sorrow. This is what I like most. Calm after blast. You know, when all is said and done, you can say calm after blast. Or you can say rest after weariness. At the end of all, you will say, sweet rest at last. God is faithful, and He will remain forever faithful. In all situations, God will never leave us alone. I thank you.